Back to the Caremore Hour with Dr. Bruce Hensel. Call Dr. Bruce now. 888-DR-BRUCE. 888-372-7823.
Don't cry. Don't cry, baby. Don't cry, baby.
Baby might not only cry, baby may be in danger if you use your car seat incorrectly. And the American Academy of Pediatrics is changing their suggestions. Now, we used to tell you that at the baby's first birthday, you can turn your infant's car seat from rear facing to forward facing. Well, they're changing that. Why? Because studies have shown that when they're rear facing and there is an accident, they have fewer head and neck injuries. So now we're telling people, keep the car seat facing the rear until a baby is 2 years of age or they outgrow weight and height limits. Now, remember, kids are more obese now. That's playing a role as well. So in addition to this, there are other changes. Kids up until age two, again, should be able to fit in the new car seats. Keep them facing backwards. Older children should be in booster seats until they're 4 feet 9 inches tall. And between the ages of 8 and 12, kids have to stay in the back seat until 13. This is a lot more control than we used to suggest, and it's because of studies that have shown that if we face the seat forward too soon or we let the kids come up front too soon, they are in danger. So please, please, please go to my website, drbrucehensel.com. We'll put all these recommendations up. You can reach me at Twitter or at Facebook, as well as at the website and at 888. Dr. Bruce. As you know, there are changes in medical reimbursements, in insurance coverage all over the country. In California, Medi-Cal is about to be endangered in certain ways. I've got with me on the phone Dr. Irv Edwards, who is the founder, president, CEO of EMA, which is a group I work with, also the former president of California chapter of the American College of Emergency Physicians. And this is not a commercial, but we work together. We know about these changes intimately and how they can affect people. So, Dr. Edwards, why don't you explain what's going on in the legislature, how it will affect ERs, and what the potential danger is? Because I think most people don't understand this.
Dr. Hensel, thank you very much for even agreeing to interview me on this important matter. The state of California is well known to have significant financial problems and a budget deficit that is huge. The legislature is currently wrestling with ways to close that budget deficit and initially came up with a proposal to eliminate a fund, which is called the Matty Fund, after Senator Ken Matty, which exists to help five different constituents. It helps trauma centers pay for trauma care. It helps children's hospitals funding the important mission that they provide. It helps hospitals pay for the uninsured burden that they face. And we know that 20% of Californians, or 7.5 million patients, are without insurance. It helps support on-call panels. An on-call panel is if someone comes to the ER and needs an orthopedic surgeon or a cardiologist, those on-call physicians can build a fund for coming in at night and taking care of these patients. And it helps to support the ER physicians so that we can add the proper amount of physician coverage and additional shifts to see people promptly and efficiently.
All right, let me jump in here. Now, the Matty Fund in California, which does a lot of these things, the proposal is a 10% cut, and the reason for it, and this affects all states because similar things are going on elsewhere, is an attempt to balance the budget. So if I were on the other side of the aisle and I said, well, we got to balance the budget. If we're not going to do it this way, how do we do it in terms of medical care? Because medical care is costing so much. So do you have an idea about what an alternative to that would be?
I just want to clarify something you said.
Okay.
There are two cuts pending. One is the elimination of the Maddie Fund.
Altogether.
A proposal that might cost $55 million that is allocated to health care being reallocated to the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, as a second measure of closing the health care burden, diminishing the Medi-Cal program payments by 10%, which is a second hit or an additional burden. It's important to know that the Medi-Cal program has been in existence once, for 30 years, and has had one fee adjustment in 30 years. It does not even keep up with the CPI, or the Consumer Price Index, and has been frozen in place for 11 years. The one adjustment was in 2000. It does not cover, when we see even patients on Medi-Cal, or nationally Medicaid, the cost of providing that physician. And currently, there are lawsuits pending to try and get the Medi-Cal program to increase the rates to cover the cost of those services.
Let me ask you this. Understanding that this attack on a program that takes care of people who either don't have the money or the insurance to take care of themselves. One of the major thrusts in the whole reform bill, which people know from listening to me that I'm against, I think it causes more problems than it solves. But the whole thrust was to try to get uninsured people covered. This sounds contradictory if they're going to pull this away. So how do they explain it, if that's true? If they're saying they want to cover uninsured people, and then they're going to take away one of the ways they have of insuring, or at least paying for the care of uninsured people, how is this consistent with what the government says they're trying to do?
That's really a great question, and the answer lays in the fact that the idea made sense on the surface, but was not well studied. By taking away the Maddie Fund, they hope to donate this to the general Medi-Cal program and get what is called a federal match for every dollar they put in this case $55 million. They would get $55 million from the federal government, and then they would add 500,000 people to the Medi-Cal rolls.
Mm-hmm.
The dilemma of the decision is that there are 7.5 million uninsured, and this fund allows 7.5 million people who have nowhere to go to come to the ER, and that there's a way to pay for the services that they require when they're having a true emergency or a crisis.
You know, one thing I want to add here is, and I said this often during the votes on the health care reform bill, quote unquote, that we already pay for people who don't have insurance. It costs every one of us in this country about $1,000 a year. If some of the proposed reforms are put in place and the premiums are affected, they could go up even higher than that. So it's sort of like leaving out half of the story. Now, if you've got some questions about this or you don't understand it completely, you can reach us at 888-DR-BRUCE or at drbrucehensel.com. But Dr. Edwards, let's get back to this, because the contradiction is disturbing that, you know, we're taking care away from uninsured people, but what about the effect on the ERs, the trauma centers? You've already implied that, and on the doctors.
The effect will be profound, and I think it's important for your listeners, Dr. Hensel, to understand this is not an issue of only those without insurance, and this won't affect me. By federal law, any patient having what they perceive to be an emergency is entitled to go to an ER, be evaluated by an emergency physician with no financial questions asked and without any regard as to whether there is an ability to pay for it or not. Hospitals may close. Physicians who currently volunteer for call panels to see anyone who doesn't have an assigned doctor or needs a specialist will likely no longer take call because they aren't being paid for it. And in some of the ERs that our group staffs, we may be forced to reduce the number of doctors on duty from 2 to 1 at any given time.
We're talking to Dr. Irv Edwards, former president of Cal American College of Emergency Physicians chapter, head of EMA, a big ER group that I work with as well, about cutting, getting rid of the Maddie Fund altogether, as well as potential cuts in Medi-Cal. Across the country, they're considering cuts to balance budgets. They're not thinking about the effects. I got to tell a story that somebody told me. They went to an ER and the doors were closed, so they had to call an ambulance. That just doesn't happen. So that story sounded suspicious to me because it is the law. You've got to be able to be seen. But this affects you no matter where you live. All of my affiliates, every single state in this country is seeing cutbacks. If doctors can't take care of you, and I got to tell you that story about ERs being closed to walk-in traffic, not true. That is illegal. Report it if you ever see it. I'm Dr. Bruce. Stick around.